is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
It's 55 degrees in Lawrence, 56 in Manhattan. It's 6:06.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, we actually have many frequencies all around the state. A complete listing of them awaits you at kansaspublicradio.org, where we're always streaming KPR1 and KPR2.
Support for KPR comes from the University of Kansas, working to address major challenges in disease prevention and treatment, sustainable energy solutions, and more. Information about KU research is at ku.edu.
Coming up, news headlines at 6:30. Immediately followed by an overview of redistricting, which was really in the news a lot this year. What happened this year? Is it all going to come out in the wash? Is it really still going to happen? We're going to talk about this. Plus, we will meet a member of the choir that originally sang Christmas Time Is Here for the original Charlie Brown Christmas special 60 years ago. He's still alive. Lots of members of that choir are still alive. We'll meet him coming up on KPR. Stick around.
Support for KPR comes from Liverpool Legends, performing the complete Beatles experience, narrated by Louise Harrison, Saturday, December 27th, 7:30 p.m. at the Topeka Performing Arts Center. Information can be found at liverpoollegends.com.
Do have a dense fog advisory going into effect at midnight. It runs through 11 o'clock tomorrow morning for Allen, Anderson, Chase, Clay, Coffey, Dickinson, Douglas, Franklin, Geary, Greenwood, Lyon, Morris, Osage, Ottawa, Riley, Shawnee, Waubonsie, and Woodson counties. Visibilities of a quarter mile or less are possible, so leave yourself plenty of time to get where you need to go if you have to travel late tonight or you have to commute tomorrow. The time is 6:20.
Bruce, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations from 5 to 9 a.m. Join us for a lot or a little of Morning Edition. Jay Schaefer will be your local host.
As a KPR listener, you can leave an inspired and lasting gift to our community by making a gift through your will. For more information, talk with your legal or financial advisor or email us at membership@kansaspublicradio.org.
Stay tuned. News headlines are coming right up at 6:30.
S&P 500 closed at a new record high at 6909. This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Well, now that Kansas has lured the Chiefs to Wyandotte County, one question is pretty big and remains. What's going to happen to the Royals? Sam Zeff has the latest.
Kansas House Speaker Dan Hawkins from Wichita says the state is still waiting to hear a proposal from the Royals. He says the same sales tax bonds the Chiefs are using to build in Western KCK are available for a baseball park. But Hawkins says time is running out.
We still got a December 31 deadline. If they put something together that we can work with, we'll meet on December 31 of this year.
He insists that the end of the year deadline will not be extended. If the Royals decide they want to move to Kansas, all indications point to the old Sprint campus at 119th and Knoll in Overland Park. I'm Sam Zeff.
Another Kansas City, Kansas man serving a long prison sentence is seeking his release, saying he was set up by disgraced police detective Roger Golubsky. Peggy Lowe reports 46-year-old Amon Mann filed his motion in Wyandotte County Court today.
Mann's case is much like that of Lamont McIntyre, a young Kansas City, Kansas black man who was railroaded by Golubsky, then was exonerated in 2017 for a double homicide. Mann was convicted of murder in the year 2000 on the testimony of just one witness who has since recanted. Mann's case is another of what is expected to be several more wrongful convictions based on police work by Golubsky. The white police officer killed himself a year ago just as he was set to go on trial for federal civil rights violations. I'm Peggy Lowe.
We do have a dense fog advisory going into effect overnight. It stretches all the way through 11 a.m. on Wednesday. This is for Allen, Anderson, Chase, Clay, Coffey, Dickinson, Douglas, Franklin, Geary, Greenwood, Lyon, Morris, Osage, Ottawa, Riley, Shawnee, Waubonsie, and Woodson counties. Visibilities of a quarter mile or less are possible, so take a little extra time with your commute. Make sure you leave plenty of space between yourself and anyone else out on the roads. Mostly cloudy skies are expected tomorrow with areas of dense fog through the morning hours, highs in the mid-60s, lows in the lower 40s tomorrow night. It's 6:35.
Support for...
For many, it marks the beginning of Christmas. Join us for a live broadcast from the historic King's College Chapel in Cambridge, England, where Daniel Hyde conducts his famous choir, which this year premieres a new carol by Rachel Portman. Join with a worldwide congregation to celebrate the holiday, a festival of nine lessons and carols on Christmas Eve, from American Public Media.
You will hear it on KPR stations tomorrow at 9 a.m. That is live when you take into account the time difference. 9 a.m. KPR One, a festival of nine lessons and carols. You can catch a rebroadcast at 7 o'clock tomorrow night on your KPR One stations.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, providing solutions for mold, asbestos, and other indoor environmental quality issues since 1982. For clients ranging from private homeowners to realtors to corporations. More information at CromwellEnvironmental.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies as well, all listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org, where we are streaming 24 hours a day, KPR1 and KPR2 broadcasts.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication covering Lawrence and Douglas County since 2021, with a goal of maintaining open news access for all. News and more at lawrencekstimes.com.
Stay with us. A little more All Things Considered still to come. News headlines at 7:01, and then it's classical music with Steve Seal as your host. Again, that's on KPR One stations. It's 55 degrees in Lawrence.
From NPR News, Name Your Price Tool, a way to see coverage options based on a driver's budget. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Price and coverage match limited by state law. From FJC, a foundation of donor-advised funds working to maximize the impact of charitable giving and to create customized philanthropic solutions. Learn more at fjc.org. From the Walton Family Foundation, working to create access to opportunity for people and communities by tackling tough social and environmental problems. More information is at waltonfamilyfoundation.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Why spend hours making a turkey in the oven when you can fry it? My brother explains how on the next morning edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. Morning edition, getting you caught up on the latest national, international, and regional news. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Maselli's, preparing heat and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner items for drive-through pickup Wednesday afternoons. Gluten-free, vegetarian, and dairy-free options available. New menus weekly and online ordering at Maselli'sOnline.com.
News headlines coming up next, followed by Stardate, then classical music. Steve Seal is your host. We'll switch over to jazz at 9 o'clock tonight. A dense fog advisory going into effect at midnight, running through 11 o'clock tomorrow morning for much of the KPR listening area, including Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, and Emporia.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer. Live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information at greenladylounge.com.
54 degrees in Lawrence. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. Justice Department officials have released 30,000 pages of letters, flight logs, and other documents related to the investigation of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. They include a handwritten letter released and published on the DOJ website, but now that same agency is saying the letter is a fake. NPR's Gabriel Sanchez has more.
Among the trove of documents released by the Justice Department are redacted photographs, court records, and a handwritten letter. A photo of the letter shows an alleged correspondence between Jeffrey Epstein and another convicted sex offender, former USA Gymnastics and Michigan State University physician Larry Nassar. The letter from 2019 describes Epstein's and Nassar's love for, quote, young ladies, and later describes President Trump as sharing their same passion. Hours after the release, DOJ officials posted on X they were vetting the validity of the letter they presented online. 2 hours later, a second social post described the letter as fake. It wasn't immediately clear what information the department learned in the interim. The FBI declined comment. Gabriel Sanchez, NPR News, Washington.
The Education Department's Office of Federal Student Aid is investigating Brown University in connection with the campus shooting more than a week ago that left at least two students dead and nine injured. NPR's Caden Mills reports.
The Department of Education says it will look into allegations that the university lacked adequate surveillance in the area where the shooting occurred and that emergency alerts of an active shooter threat were delayed. It's requesting several documents from Brown, including annual security reports from 2024 and 2025, as well as current procedures related to campus safety. The department says the university may be in violation of the Clery Act, a law requiring schools accepting federal financial aid to meet specific security standards. Brown responded saying it would launch an independent investigation of the shooting and that the campus has, quote, an expansive network of security cameras. The university also says its emergency alerts went out minutes after gunshots were first reported. Caden Mills, NPR News.
Millions of Americans on the move this holiday season. NPR's Joel Rose reports that more than 120 million people are expected to travel by plane, train, or automobile.
If you're heading over the river and through the woods today, you are not alone. AAA predicts more than 122 million Americans will travel more than 50 miles from home during the peak end-of-year travel period that started last weekend. The vast majority, more than 109 million, will drive, according to AAA, a slight increase over last year's record total. Air travel may set records as well. The TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, says it's preparing to screen more than 44 million passengers during this holiday season and could set a record for passenger volume for the year. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Stardate December 23rd. If you'd like to know how dark your night sky is, then look high in the northeast after the moon sets this evening for the stars of Camelopardalis, the giraffe. If you can see any of them, then congratulations, your sky is pretty dark. Light pollution wipes out the view for most Americans. The glare of streetlights, billboards, and other artificial sources overpowers the stars. None of the stars of Camelopardalis, for example, is brighter than fourth magnitude, which is pretty faint. So unless you're under dark skies, there's not much to see. That's a little misleading, though. The giraffe's brightest stars are all stunners. They look so faint only because they're so far away. The giraffe's brightest star is Beta Camelopardalis, Beta Cam for short. It's a huge, massive star that shines roughly 1,600 times brighter than the Sun. But it's about 840 light years away, so it's a faint dot in the night sky. The next brightest star is CS CAM. It is a supergiant star that's perhaps 75,000 times the Sun's brightness, but it's 3,400 light years away. And the third brightest, Alpha CAM, is the most impressive of all, more than 600,000 times the Sun's brightness. At a distance of 5,500 light years, it's one of the most remote stars visible to the unaided eye, but only under especially dark skies. More about Alpha CAM tomorrow. And we have more sky watching tips, astronomy news, and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hello there. Good evening. I'm Steve Seal. It's a Tuesday night, Christmas Eve Eve. And we've got some very nice sounds coming up. A couple of things from John Rutter. He's going to provide his candlelight carol, but also conduct his Cambridge Singers in a medley of Christmas music a little bit later on. Sometimes hard to beat these classic recordings. An oldie but a goodie here. Eugene Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra here in the air from the Orchestral Suite number 3 by Bach.
Thank you.
The air from the Orchestral Suite No. 3 by Johann Sebastian Bach. Played there by the Philadelphia Orchestra, conducted by Eugene Ormandy.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Yoga Center of Lawrence, offering Iyengar yoga that utilizes props as aids for students of all ages and abilities in downtown Lawrence. Pictures, schedules, and registration available at yogacenterofLawrence.org. And the Topeka Zoo, presenting Zoo Lights, holidays from around the world, now through December 31st. Now with private igloos for rent. Reservations and tickets at topekazoo.org.
Here's a look at the KPR weather forecast. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 51 and fair. Wind is light and variable from the east. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 51 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
In a moment, John Rutter leads his Cambridge Singers and the City of London Sinfonia in a medley of Christmas melodies. But this is one of his own compositions, and it's called Candlelight Carol. John Rutter's Candlelight Carol, Aulus Hughes harp, Freya Goldmark and Patrick Dawkins violin, Richard Jones viola, Val Wilbanks cello. John Rutter formed the Cambridge Singers several decades ago to be his main ensemble to sing interpretations of choral music and his own choral music as well. And here he is leading the Cambridge Singers and the City of London Sinfonia in this suite entitled The Peace of Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you.
the suite of familiar Christmas time tunes called The Peace of Christmas, and performed there by the City of London Sinfonia and Cambridge Singers, all conducted by John Rutter.
From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. 91.5 Lawrence, 91.3 Junction City, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 48 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 48 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
Well, here's a Yuletide favorite in an arrangement by the violinist Michi Wiyako and played here by the Miro Quartet. Jingle Bells, written by James Pierpont, And its original title was The One Horse Open Sleigh. Although it has no original connection to Christmas, it certainly became associated with winter and Christmas eventually, and mainly in the 1860s, 1870s. First recording on an Edison cylinder in 1889. I'm Steve Seal. Emil Valteufel's Skater's Waltz here with the Gulbenkian Orchestra led by Michel Shverchevsky. One of the great skating pieces. I suppose now we can say there are really two great skating pieces in popular culture. There's that one and then Vince Guaraldi's piece that came along in the 1960s. Giving that one a run for its money, for sure. But Emil Valteufel got there first. The Skater's Waltz, as performed by the Gulbenkian Foundation Orchestra, conducted by Michel Sviardchevsky. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 48 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 48 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
What instruments feel the most suited for the Yuletide season? Well, the human voice is certainly up there. Choirs singing carols and hymns of Christmas. The harp is certainly in the running for its peacefulness, epitomizing angels and north stars and a savior in a manger. But brass is definitely a contender too, announcing glory in their proud manner. I'm going to play you a few different brass ensembles coming up this hour, including this, the Pittsburgh Symphony Brass, with some Yuletide sounds. I'm Steve Seal on this Christmas Eve Eve. Great music ahead.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled against President Trump's deployment of the National Guard to Chicago. Today's ruling is the latest legal setback to the administration's use of troops on domestic soil. And it's the first time the high court has weighed in on the deployment, as NPR's Kat Lonsdorf reports.
President Trump had argued the need to federalize the National Guard against Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's wishes in order to stop what the administration said was unremitting violence against federal immigration agents in the city. But two lower courts ruled against such claims, and the administration issued an emergency appeal to the Supreme Court back in October. In an unsigned opinion, the High Court ruled 6-3 against Trump, saying that, quote, the government has failed to identify a source of authority that would allow the military to execute the laws of Illinois. The decision, which does not set precedent, is one of only a handful of times the conservative court has ruled against the president in the emergency docket in this term. Kat Lonsdorf, NPR News, Washington.
The Justice Department has released a new batch of files related to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. This latest release includes multiple mentions of President Trump, including an email from a prosecutor that says Trump flew on Epstein's private jet 8 times in the 1990s. Trump has not been accused of wrongdoing, and the Justice Department says some documents contain unfounded allegations against Trump. The Trump administration has sanctioned a former top European Union official over allegations on Silicon Valley. NPR's Bobby Allen reports he's among 5 notable Europeans the State Department says it is barring from entering the U.S.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio says 5 Europeans he describes as radical activists are in violation of new visa rules against those who try to suppress speech. Those targeted include former EU Commissioner Thierry Breton, a longtime antagonist of the tech industry's power. He helped shape an internet law that was used to fine Elon Musk's ex $140 million over its deceptive verification system and blocking outside researchers. The other Europeans targeted include officials at nonprofit groups such as the Center for Countering Digital Hate and the Global Disinformation Index. Former EU official Breton wrote in response, quote, "Is McCarthy's witch hunt back? To our American friends, censorship isn't where you think it is." Bobby Allen, NPR News.
Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says the cause of an explosion today at a nursing home outside Philadelphia is under investigation.
We believe preliminarily that it was a gas leak that led to that. The explosion was really quite catastrophic.
Shapiro says at least 2 people were killed and several remain unaccounted for. A search and rescue operation is ongoing. Authorities say numerous patients and staff initially trapped inside a collapsed portion of the building were rescued. The fire chief says the first floor was crumbling into the basement. And you're listening to NPR News. Forecasters say Southern California could see one of its wettest Christmases in years. A series of powerful storms has much of the state in its sights. Officials say as much as 10 inches of rain is in the forecast for the Christmas holiday, leading to concern about flash flooding and mudslides. Officials also warning drivers about the potential for whiteout conditions in the Sierra Nevada. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are funding a new research on the effects of hepatitis B vaccination. But NPR's Jonathan Lambert reports that many scientists are calling the proposed study unethical.
More than 400 studies suggest that vaccinating newborns against hepatitis B is safe and effective. But the CDC is funding a controversial team of Danish scientists to do more. The group's been praised for their vaccine research by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but many scientists have questioned their research practices. The study isn't designed to test whether the vaccine works. Instead, it will look for potential side effects in babies born in Guinea-Bissau, a country that doesn't currently vaccinate at birth. The researchers will vaccinate some newborns and withhold the newborn dose for others, then follow both groups for several years. Some experts criticize the withholding of a well-studied, life-saving vaccine in a country where nearly 1 in 5 people are infected with Hep B. Jonathan Lambert, NPR News.
Millions of Americans expected to hit the road this holiday season. The AAA Motor Club projecting more than 120 million will travel at least 50 miles from home for the Christmas and New Year's holiday. AAA expects the vast majority to drive to their destination. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Wallace Foundation, an independent, nonpartisan research foundation collaborating with grantees and partners in the arts, school leadership, and youth development. More at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.
Blaine. Good evening, and welcome into our evening listening on this December 23rd. I'm Steve Seal, and it's nice to have your company. Well, we have some pretty radiant performances coming up with seasonal sounds this hour with the BBC Singers and a couple of different brass groups, starting here with the Pittsburgh Symphony Brass, who will start with some music of Gustav Holst.
Thank you.
Pittsburgh Symphony Brass with a nice little medley there, beginning with In the Bleak Midwinter. And we also heard Infant Holy, Infant Lowly, the Nativity Carol, and How Brightly Shone the Morning Star.
For many, it marks the beginning of Christmas. Join us for a live broadcast from the historic King's College Chapel in Cambridge, England, where Daniel Hyde conducts his famous choir, which this year premieres a new carol by Rachel Portman. Join with a worldwide congregation to celebrate the holiday, a festival of nine lessons and carols on Christmas Eve from American Public Media.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 48 and cloudy. Wind is from the north. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Wind will be from the east at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 48 and cloudy.
Stay tuned for more KPR weather. I'm Maria Lopez.
It's one of those pieces that certainly isn't a Christmas piece per se, but it certainly has heard an awful lot this time of year. And here's a wonderful performance with the Jean-François Paillard Chamber Orchestra. This music of Johann Pachelbel. Johann Pachelbel's Canon in D, played by the Jean-François Paillard Chamber Orchestra. The Hallelujah Chorus from Handel's Messiah is easily the best-known part of that work, but a conductor I recently had the pleasure of talking to about that piece, I asked, well, what are some pieces, some parts of Messiah that are perhaps deserving of a little bit more love than maybe they get? And this was on his short list. There were shepherds abiding in the field, this soprano aria. And here is Kathleen Battle to sing it for us with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and Mendelssohn Choir, led by Andrew Davis.
Heavenly host, praising God,
Kathleen Battle with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and Mendelssohn Choir, all led by Andrew Davis. With a bit of Messiah there, beginning with There Were Shepherds Abiding in the Field. That's from the contemporary English composer Owain Park, a new setting of the famous carol While Shepherds Watched, sung there by the BBC Singers, led by Stephen Cleobury. Our music tonight is supported by Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers to the heart of each destination with small ship, river, ocean, and expedition voyages, offering cultural enrichment and immersive experiences. Discover more at viking.com. Passion de Cuivre is a German brass ensemble with a French name, Passion for Brass, and here they are playing Five Carols for Brass.
Thank you.
Five Carols for Brass, as performed there by the group Passion for Brass. They play on period brass instruments, and they are very passionate about claiming that those older instruments have a much purer sound. Steve Seal with you on this Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, Eve as it were. Glad you're here. Hope you can stick around.
I'm Layla Faldin. A bit behind on the news. No sweat. We got you.
Okay, so just remind us, who is suing the government here?
What do you know about this executive action?
So how are conservatives who oppose Trump feeling right now?
What jobs are being cut out there?
If the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau cannot do its work, what does that mean for Americans?
No matter what the headlines bring, we'll break it all down for you. This is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 50 and mostly cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the north-northeast. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 50 and mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
This is from the American composer Daniel Pinkham, his Christmas cantata as performed here by Robert Schaefer and the Washington Chorus.
Thank you.
It's really late American composer Daniel Pinkham. His Christmas cantata, as sung there by the Washington Chorus, led by Robert Schaefer. I'm Steve Seal.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. A dense fog advisory has been issued for parts of our listening area. It's 50 and mostly cloudy. Wind is light and variable from the north-northeast. Tonight, a few showers with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. It's 50 and mostly cloudy. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Live from NPR News, I'm Giles Snyder. The U.S. Supreme Court has dealt a setback to President Trump's use of National Guard troops in largely Democratic-led cities. In a 6-3 opinion, the court let stand for now a lower court's ruling that blocked the deployment of Guard troops to Chicago. Four governors from states along the Atlantic coast say they'll fight President Trump's latest effort to block wind power developments. Trump paused completion of five major offshore wind projects Monday, citing national security concerns. Here's NPR's Brian Mann.
Trump has opposed wind power for years, and his administration now says five big projects along the Atlantic coast need further review from the Defense Department. Critics point out the projects all received federal permits after extensive scrutiny by the military. In a joint statement, governors from Connecticut, Massachusetts, New York, and Rhode Island called this pause baseless and reckless. They said further delays for completed and nearly completed wind projects will cost jobs and drive up electricity costs for consumers. Trump's opposition to wind power hasn't fared well in the courts. Earlier this month, a federal judge struck down Trump's executive order halting offshore wind projects, calling the ban unlawful, arbitrary, and capricious. Brian Mann, NPR News, New York.
The Education Department preparing to resume wage garnishment for some student loan debts. The move comes after a years-long pause due to the pandemic, as NPR's Sequoia Carrillo reports.
The Trump administration says it will resume seizing pay from student loan borrowers in default in January. The administration previously said it would resume garnishing tax refunds and Social Security benefits from qualifying borrowers last May, but backtracked a month later. A department spokesperson says the first notices will be sent out the week of January 7th to approximately 1,000 defaulted borrowers. The notices are expected to increase on a monthly basis throughout the year. Student loan experts say the timing of the move, colliding with rising health care costs, will put added strain on low and middle income borrowers. Sequoia Carrillo, NPR News.
Forecasters say Southern California could see one of its wettest Christmases in years. Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors Chair Hilda Solis is urging residents to prepare for a drenching.
If you haven't picked up your emergency supplies or sandbags yet, please do so today, if you can, before the heavy rain begins.
A series of powerful storms has much of the state in its sights. Officials say as much as 10 inches of rain in the forecast for the Christmas holiday, leading to concerns about flash flooding and mudslides. A search and rescue operation ongoing at a Pennsylvania nursing home. Governor Josh Shapiro says an explosion there today collapsed part of the building, killing at least two people. Several remain unaccounted for. A cause of the blast is unclear, but officials suspect a gas leak. This is NPR News. The Justice Department has released additional documents from the Jeffrey Epstein investigation. The new batch includes dozens of video clips and around 30,000 pages, many with redactions. However, an email from an unidentified prosecutor says Donald Trump flew on Epstein's private jet 8 times in the 1990s. Trump has previously said he never flew on Epstein's plane. There is no allegation that now President Trump committed any crime. The fatal shooting of a Delaware state trooper has led State Division of Motor Vehicle agencies to close their offices statewide. The trooper has not been identified, but officials say he was killed during an active shooter situation at a DMV facility in Newcastle outside of Wilmington. Officials say the suspected gunman was also killed. Baking cookbooks saw a boom in 2025 with an 80% growth over the past 12 months. NPR's Netta Ulaby has more on what's driving cookbook sales.
No one expected baking cookbook sales to rise like a yeasted donut in 2025.
The double-digit growth surprised me.
Brenda Connor analyzes the U.S. book market for the research company Circana.
80% growth certainly exceeded my expectations.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I love dessert.
In 2020, during the pandemic, bread cookbooks led sales. Now the biggest-selling baking cookbook of the year is called Sweet Tooth by online influencer Sarah Fenn.
This right here is my favorite holiday snack. It is a salty sweet white chocolate caramel orange popcorn.
The baking cookbook boom is especially notable because cookbooks as a category have gone down in sales this year. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at WTGrantFoundation.org. And the listeners who support this NPR station.
Trumpeter Wynton Marsalis with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. He's joined there by pianist Dan Nimmer, bassist Reddin Orville, drummer Herlon Riley on his album Wynton Marsalis Christmas Jazz Jam. This one coming out back in 2009. I'm Bob McWilliams. We've got swinging holiday music for you here on Jazz in the Night. A little bit later, we've got Diane Krall with the Clayton Hamilton Jazz Orchestra. And up next, we've got the Bill Cunliffe Trio with special guest tenor saxophonist Ralph Moore. And we're going to hear their version of Vince Guaraldi's Christmas is Coming. And after that, we'll hear from trumpeter Sean Jones here on KPR's Jazz in the Night.